Last time I went to Grant, they kept us there two or three.
We're on?
They keep us there late.
Okay, well, I'm going to call the meeting to order, and we may break for a minute to see where Shannon's at, because she's got the RFP. Congressional Affairs is coming to order. The time's 10:03. Roll call.
Congresswoman Edwards? Congressman Hamilton?
Here.
Congressman Mason? Congressman Supernaw?
Here.
Congresswoman Gitfox?
Present. Congressman Mason emailed myself and the clerk. He had a medical appointment that he needed to attend, so he is absent for today. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. Oh, let's do the prayer next. Congressman Hamilton, we say our morning prayer, please.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we ask you to be in our heart and minds as we come together for our Rajaj people. Let's conduct the business as best way we know how. Please be with the families representing, the families that need your guidance and protection. Please be with the men and women in uniform, wherever they may be. All these things I ask in the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Next item on our agenda is minutes.
You know, on these minutes, on the payables, it says to pay the amount of $2,700 and $1,400 and $6,000. But I think this was for 3 months, three different months.
It was.
We were 3 months behind. I think it ought to show that the $2,700 was for 1 month. I don't know what month that was.
Okay, so Chair will entertain a motion to have the minutes reflect for November 14 that each one of the payables reflect the month that the statement was for. Will that work for you, Peggy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think that'd be a good record.
Okay. Motion on the floor. There's a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. Chair will entertain a motion to approve the minutes for November 14 as amended.
So moved.
All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Motion carries. Next item on our agenda is vacancies within OFPR. All right, we've talked about this before. This is before Keggy was on the committee. So the way that the committee did it before Keggy, so that I can pull you up to date, Kelly's been gone for a while. And the committee thus far had just decided to leave it that position vacant. And as of right now, the two employees that we had there reported to whoever the second speaker is in terms of time and payables and things of that nature. But now we're running into a problem as of yesterday that I became aware of and that even the committee doesn't know about, which is all of the emails that used to go to Kelly Corbin, the account, his email account was never shut down. And so there's emails that come to Kelly Corbin that I'm now going to have to go through and then send them out to whoever they need to go to. And then now we have another employee leaving that department, which leaves one employee. So the way that it had been working for the last couple of months is whenever those employees needed off, they ran it through second speaker, who approved their time off and helps work on their evaluation goals and signs the payables for OFPR, which, you know, I've been doing that through finance. Approving things like their travel when they have to go out. I feel like that worked for a couple of months, but now we're getting into they need leadership. They need someone that can help with their day-to-day operations in a more permanent capacity, and that's not, in my opinion, that shouldn't be the job of an elected official for OFPR. It's so, I don't know where the committee wants to go from here, but.
Well, I when I got that email from you that Elaine had resigned, and you suggested we hire somebody to replace her, I sent you an email saying that I think if we don't have a director, which I didn't know at that time, I thought Donna was the acting director, but I found out she's not. I think we ought to focus on hiring a director, and because if we start hiring employees that may not fit the requirements or desires of a permanent director, they'd be in a position of either having to terminate them or keep them when they really don't fit a director's goals. So I think we should advertise for a director. I remember now from, although I wasn't on the committee, I think Shannon had in mind redrawing the whole OFPR, which is, I think she's always wanted to do that. And I don't agree with that. I think that the OFPR is functioning well as it is, as it was. And so that would be my suggestion. We send out a RFP or a request for applications for a director.
Okay. Congressman Hamilton?
I just wanted to, yeah, I was under the impression we were going to refocus the duties of OFPR. We've talked about that for a year now, I think, and no one's done it yet. No, we haven't picked that up yet. Mm-hmm. So right now we're at a place where one person resigned, we're down to one person, and it's, I don't think it's fair to have just one person out there like that. So I'm leaning towards what Cuggy just mentioned too. We're gonna have to do a director now. Because we haven't done anything with OPR yet, so if we're not gonna do anything with it now or in the near future, we just need to hire a director and let it operate. Let it function as OFPR does. That's would be my suggestion too. Like Cuggy, just go with a director. Let's advertise, get a director, and if someone wants to pick up to refocus the OFPR, then we need to do that. But like I said, no one's done that yet. So.
Okay. Do one of y'all have a motion then?
No, I don't have a motion. I just thought, do we need to look at the job description before we?
We can.
Before we approve that, or
before I make a motion, I'd like to discuss how he suggests we go about hiring a director and what qualifications we'd want. And I don't know, Alice, that's kind of more your area than anybody's, human resources.
Well, the the discussions that I've heard amongst Congress members, even for not just recently, even the past, I would say, 4 years, and there's nothing wrong with the discussion of it. I mean, if it works for some people, it works, and OFPR works for a few people, and for some people it doesn't work at all. And then there's people like myself where I'm kind of in the middle, where I think there's some things that work and some things that may not work. And there are some things that don't work. First Congress, and we're fortunate enough to have three people on this committee that were a part of First Congress that set OFPR up. And I don't know everything that went into that, and you all will be able to shed light on that. There's been, you know, a little discussion with, do we need OFP, we need the concept of OFPR. Would it be better to outsource? I don't know. That's been a little bit of discussion. I mean, if we outsourced it to a firm, it's not like we couldn't get the information that we need. Would that be cheaper with the people's money than having full staff, salaries, benefits, all of those things that go with having a department? Could we get more bang for our buck if it was outsourced? If we did outsource it, who would be, you know, some companies that we would hope that would look at the RFP? And then the job descriptions need to probably be looked at if we decide to keep it. I agree with that. The duties, I never had any one-on-one conversations with Kelly towards the end before I knew he was going to leave. I wanted to ask him, like, what's working for this department and what's not working? Are you fully staffed? Do we need more people? Do we need? And then someone mentioned the other day, we get reports, but does the nation follow them? The answer to that from every person that I've talked to is they don't have to. So then the question will come up again, well then why do we have it? What are we doing with our reports? And those are all valid questions. I'd like to hear from Cuggy on, what do you think about outsourcing with a company?
Well, my opinion on that is that a company that does that has the same expenses that we would have. They have to pay benefits, salaries, overhead, and they have to pass that on to you in their charges. And if you can get it cheaper through outsourcing, they're probably not doing as much as the in-house people are doing, because their expenses include not only the same expenses we have to pay, but also a profit for the owner. So I think it's a misunderstanding to think that you can outsource it and save a lot of money. I think you're just going to get less if the OFPR is operating as it should. To go back to the beginning, the legislation that created the OFPR was an internal audit department that we were going to establish, and the idea was to coordinate all of the accounting in the nation and find things that were wrong and try to correct them in all the departments, but it's also was to find things that were right and disseminate that to all of the departments with hope that there'd be an overall improvement in savings of money. But Tim Gray was chief then. He viewed the internal audit department as what he kept saying, a witch hunt, as if it was only to find things wrong. And it tied it up in court for, I believe it was 2.5 years before we were able to implement that. And finally, they changed the name to Office of Fiscal and Performance Review, and we went to court. And it was never settled. I think when John Rediger went into office, he dropped the suit. He dropped Jim Gray's suit. And though, so we was able to implement the Office of Fiscal and Performance Review. For that 2.5 years, or whatever long time it was, Kelly was on the payroll, but he was over here doing the work of a budget analyst. And so he was fully engaged and familiar with everything. So whenever the suit was dropped, he was able to launch that. And that's how it started. There is one thing that I've noticed that Kelly was able to find a repeat findings. But it seemed like nobody ever did anything about it. We shouldn't have a repeat finding. That's one thing that I don't know if that was their fault. I mean, all he could do is call it to our attention, and then nobody corrected it. That's probably something that we should work on here. But
through legislation?
Well, I don't know if it's through legislation or just action. Somebody should have said, hey, you got to do that.
I agree with that. I agree with the repeat findings. But I think that that's where there's a few members who are like, well, they kind of shrug their shoulders and say, well, then why do we have them? If OFPR finds repeat findings and nothing's ever done about it, then I think some people are like, well, what's the point? I mean, just to keep having repeat findings.
Well, you can make that argument about the whole government. I mean,
true.
We have a legislative branch that we're to the point where we turn out poorly written legislation that's got mistakes in it, and instead of saying, no, we're not going to do this, we're going to do this right, chief, send it back to us, we're going to fix it. No, well, it's got mistakes, but so what? We've got, you know, we've got dysfunction all over the place. I believe you that it serves, that this serves a purpose, but we've got to figure out how to take the next step after OFPR does its work and says, hey, there's these problems. When they're ignored or not fixed, then Congress, it's an office of the Congress. To me, Congress then has the responsibility to take that next step and say, well, and what's our only sword we have? The power of the purse. Hey, we're not going to fund a new initiative till you guys get these initiatives that you've already undertaken fixed. We're not going to hire more people to correct a problem that can be corrected by the people that are already in place. Maybe you don't have the right people in place. But that's why I was encouraging us to have OFPR come, not only to once a week and give us a report, but also come to the committee meeting so you can talk through, hey, here's some problems that you guys have. How are you correcting those? And if you're not going to correct them, what are we going to do about it? And the only thing we can do is say, we're withholding money until it gets corrected. And, you know, that hasn't happened. So I don't want to give up on them. I proposed fixing the legislation to give it some more guidelines to work through what we need. And we don't really focus on performance, I don't think, very much. I think we look at the fiscal aspects of it. Okay, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. But when it comes to performance, we don't do much in that area. So I think we should.
Well, I don't see the duty of the OFPR to enforce that. I think they have to go into these departments and get the cooperation of the department. I don't think they want to be in a position of having these departments resisting them auditing their books, alienating all of them. I think that the OFPR, if they find something, they need to turn it over to someone else to enforce it. It's just like the whistleblower. The whistleblower's department doesn't enforce the violations that they uncover. They refer it on to the AG or whoever would have jurisdiction over it. But
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But the question then becomes, since they're an office of the Congress, and the Congress wants these reports and wants to do something, presumably wants to do something with them,
yeah,
what's the something?
Well, I think it's when it's reported to us, it's kind of our duty to follow through on it. We just haven't enforced it. I don't know if we recognize that we should have. Say there's something wrong and say, oh, okay. Nobody, and then it's a repeat finding.
Yeah,
next year.
But I'm going back to, and so when we find these repeat findings and we say, hey, here's problems, and we see that we've got overlap of services or we've got overlap of, you know, jobs, whatever it is that we find as a result of looking at that office, looking at it, what's your thought on what Congress does as a result of that?
Well, like you said, about the only thing we have is the power of the person, and the Supreme Court's practically taken it away from us. I mean, according to their opinion, we can't hold back funds from these departments. If they say they need it, if Keith says they need it, or he's free to just restore what we cut. So.
Well, that part is, but you know, when it goes back to, what does that mean, operating funds? What do you need to operate, you know? It depends. Are you talking about operating, you know, one aspect? You're operating, let's say it's a federal fund, a federal program that you operate. Well, presumably the federal government has given you all the money you need to operate a federal program. Now, of course, we know that we don't look at it that way. We always add, or in many instances, add tribal funds. But what does it take to operate something? It doesn't mean necessarily that everything I tell you I want is a need to me. So that's, to me, where I you and I disagree on that a little bit, because I don't think operating funds means whatever I want.
Well, I know we disagree on it, and I disagree with the Supreme Court's opinion, but or the interpretation of their opinion, but until it's litigated, we're stuck with it, I guess. I mean, Jesus is going to follow the way he interprets it, and he did. He Eli looked this up. He actually asked for more money than we had without getting into the permanent fund. He asked for like close to $52 million. We had a little over $50 million available without getting into the permanent fund. So if the gaming hadn't given us another $5 million, we would have had to dip into that.
then that goes, but that goes back to me thinking, we're the ones that are supposed to pass the annual budget. It doesn't say anywhere in the Constitution that we take what anybody hands us and say, okay. I mean, theoretically, where do we get the idea that the chief tells us what the budget is? And then we work with that. I mean, we've asked through budget parameters and other laws that, that they submit us information. But if now the idea is that they just need to provide it, well, you saw that latest unofficial, or...
We just got it last week. No, it was this week.
AG's opinion that now we don't, that they don't have to appropriate, we don't have to appropriate any federal funds.
I saw that. Yeah.
Well, I read that and I was like, that is not the reason we wrote that law. I know why we wrote that law, and it was because after we had appropriated federal funds in the beginning of the fiscal year through our process, certain monies were becoming available that were excess revenue, and they were federal monies, and they were coming for those same kinds of activities that we'd already appropriated money for. So we wrote a law that said, if you get additional funds during the course of the year from non-federal sources, this is authorization to spend it without further appropriation.
This is a very good conversation, but we have got we've got to go back to the vacancies within OFPR.
Well, back to that discussion. I think we need to hire a director and go ahead and get the OFPR working as it should. And as far as enforcing their findings, I think that's up to us. It might be a separate piece of legislation or revision in existing legislation.
Congressman Tillman. Well,
thank you. I'm sorry I joined late. You may have already talked about this, but I can remember Kelly coming in here for my first year and a half with his reports and talking about repeated findings within a program, whether it was over 1 year, 2 year, or 3 years, and nothing was ever done to correct them. Is my question is, whose responsibility is that to correct that? Is that executives?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so if we try to correct that, then we're meddling in their business. So how do we encourage executive? You've got these repeated findings. You all haven't fixed them, obviously. We're going on 3 years now with the same errors or flaws that they have made. Why aren't you fixing this? Why are we continuing to throw money at this program when they're operating in some deficiency or inadequacy? If it's their job to fix it, we can't enforce that.
Kathy?
Question. What if we did take that approach, say, well, we're just not going to fund you as much money as you want. But under the way it's set up, I guess the chief could just restore it.
So well, it's not set up that way. It's how he's manipulating what we've got, apparently.
You think it's worth going back into court to try to enforce that if it did restore it?
Well,
one thing I want to mention now, this, you know, there were parts of the Parameters Act that weren't vetoed or weren't ruled unconstitutional, but the treasurer said, well, when you look at the whole thing, in effect, he said, in my opinion, it is unconstitutional, and I'm going to go ahead and release the money. And one of them is the 126. Limiting the salaries. That wasn't ruled unconstitutional, but the treasurer said he's not going to go by it. So.
I know. It brings to the point where if you know someone's not doing their job, if we know that that someone's not performing, that a department's not performing and is not correcting deficiencies in performance, from the standpoint of our branch, the only thing you can do is say, we're not going to continue to fund whatever that endeavor is because it's got problems. I mean, but you tell me that there's 12 people here that are willing to do that. or even seven.
That's the reality.
Before you guys came in, we were talking about advertising for new director. So that's where this started. We hadn't, we didn't get off, we're still on High Center there.
If, I don't know the exact figure we fund, the Office of OFPR, but, you know, I think their function and what they do, obviously, they come in and they report to us their findings, and if nothing's being done about it, why even have it? Why even have it? If we're not going to do anything to correct it, I mean, I know they do some good things.
That was what I said earlier, right before you got here.
But the point of their office, their function is when they find deficiencies, somebody's got to do something to correct it. We're not correcting it.
I feel like, I agree, and I feel like it's almost like that parent who is always telling their kid, you better not do that, you better not do that, you better not do that, or you're going to be in trouble, and the kid does it all the time, and the kid's never in trouble. That's how I feel like that's the boat we're in.
So you've got a Congress that created an office that's costing several hundred thousand dollars a year. Through no fault of that office's own, they're doing what they're mandated to do. And then when Congress gets the reports back, Congress doesn't do anything about it. So the answer is get rid of it because your Congress isn't doing their job.
We can't do anything.
I mean, you can do something, you just won't. Not you, the collective we.
What can we do?
We just talked about it.
Fund it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's going to...
Well,
they're going to move
at some
away
point,
to fund it anyway.
No, I think Shannon's point is that there is something that this body can do, but getting seven or eight members to stick together on what no one wants to do but has to do is another story in itself. I mean, getting the amount of members to say, no, we're not going to fund such and such because...
Repeated findings,
and that is never going to happen.
Well, it's why in some ways I question the whole, at this point I question our whole form of government, because this government is set up to have checks and balances, and checks and balances mean, I check you, you're not doing this right. If you're not willing to check, then you're better off having one group that makes decisions and, you know, takes it and moves on, because we don't have it. I don't see our check and balance working very well. Court is the third part of the check and balance, I've never opposed going to court, but for example, last session we realized we've got a law that I wrote on the books, and I said, hey, this isn't working very well. I'd like to amend this and change it. And you had five people in Congress that said, oh my gosh, it has to do with declaratory judgment. What does the Supreme Court think about that? I'm like, okay, so these are our lawmaking, and then the Supreme Court came in here and said, you all aren't writing your laws right, and everybody went, okay, well, we better not deal with this then. Not everybody, but a lot of people. And so when you've got a body that's not, that at this point, is even afraid to write laws, I have this law sitting there for... amendment. I think we could amend it some to put some more teeth in it. I'm willing to try that. But I don't know.
Are you talking about the Declaratory Judgment?
No, I'm talking about the OFPR Act.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm off Declaratory Judgment. I'm back on the OFPR. I'm just giving you an example of how mindset has to change in the Osage Congress in order for this in order for this to work.
Peggy.
Could I ask Trey, since he's here?
Sure.
Something. Trey?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you've been listening to hear all this. We're at the point of trying to decide whether to just hire a new director and let the OFPR get back on with his duties. But it led to the discussion of the role of the OFPR. And my opinion is their role is to identify problems, but not to enforce it. We kind of think, I think we think, that it's the Congress's duty to follow through on it. I just wanted your opinion. What can we do? And is it going to bring us into court?
I have listened to this discussion, and I think you guys have gone through all of the different issues. The role of OFPR is just as you say. I mean, it's to point out deficiencies in the departments, to bring to the attention, more importantly, of the chief's office than it is to the Congress. I mean, yes, we want to know, but it's really the executive's responsibility to take that information and try to make those departments better. Now, do the findings rise to the level of something that puts a lot of pressure on the chief's office right now? Probably not. That's probably part of the problem. They're not finding people stealing tons of money or really big problems that would get the attention of the public. And so it doesn't rise to a priority level with the executive branch that Congress would probably like to see. That's my guess. What can Congress do? Congress has the ability of oversight, and you can call these directors in before the committees and start to apply some pressure in that way. You can publicly try to apply pressure to the chief's office to implement some of these findings. But I don't see that we could actually have OFPR enforce anything on the executive branch. As far as the money goes, yes, you do have the option of the money. Complicated issue. Again, you guys brought up all those issues. The chief's office sees that they're able, and the court seems to support the fact or the idea that the chief can just move money around wherever he wants to. So you might be able to take money away from the overall budget, but if he wants to use money from somewhere else to support that specific department, I don't see the court telling him he can't at this point.
Congressman Tillman, then Congresswoman Edwards.
I'm trying to remember, when Kelly gave his reports to the Congress, did we go into executive session? Mm-mm. So it was all, everybody could hear, but did we actually, we had the reports in front of us, did we discuss and open what the findings were? Mm-hmm. Do we have a list of those? Because I thought a couple of them were pretty good. I mean, significant that were, oh my gosh, this has been going on, really? I'd like to see that list again. I know we have them all somewhere, but compiled together, there's quite a few findings in my short time here that he went over. But there were a few of them that I was shocked. This is happening. This needs to be fixed. So I think you hit on a good point too, that the public awareness, but pulling the directors in and saying, what's keeping you from fixing these deficiencies? And we have a right to do that, and that puts a little pressure on the executive office to, well, maybe we should fix this.
For nothing else, the director wants to stop being called into Congress on a regular basis for the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Well, this goes back to me always saying that I think that written reports, written publications, written announcements are more effective than us sitting at this table, because from what I can see, most of the people that listen to these meetings are employees. They get time off, apparently, to listen to meetings. So right. I don't know that the general public, the voters, the people that are the bedrock of the democracy, and it's something that I want to start pushing, you got to be informed to make good choices. Mm-hmm. And we need a PR person, because
bedrock for democracy, that's a really good one.
Thank you.
Did you just come up with that?
I just came up. We do have reports, and we have tried to put them out there orally through sitting at meetings, but I think it's time to start. He said publicly apply pressure. Well, that pressure is going to have to come through some articulated facts, I think, that go out to the bedrock.
All right, well, we're back on vacancies within OFPR. If someone has a motion.
How many people do they need in an OFPR to, do they need three? Is that what it is? Is that the number?
They've had three for a while, but they had more for a long time. They had like five people for a while.
They've lost Kelly, mm-hmm. They've lost Elaine. Mm-hmm.
So now it's just Donna.
The only one down there. Mm-hmm.
So you're gonna have to hire somebody else.
So we're at a standstill. But, I mean, to get that office hired, staffed, up to date, research, history, it's going to be a year.
I think Congressman Supernaw's point was that we shouldn't just hire Elaine's position. We should hire a director first and let that director determine who Elaine's replacement will be.
Move to advertise the director position.
For OFPR?
For OFPR.
Second to that.
Well, I will just say the last time you made that motion, you included the salary in there. And if you're going to do that again, you need to include that in your motion.
I thought
you didn't.
I've already made the motion.
You didn't have it to exceed a certain amount.
Right. And then we moved to table advertising it, right?
Yes.
So I'm untabling the advertising, I guess. I thought we already did the job description and we already had the salary max. So do you want me to, it's not to exceed $75,000, right?
I believe that's what your motion was a while back, like months ago, but I cannot be 100% certain.
I wasn't on the committee, so I don't even remember.
Yeah.
This was back in July. Congressman Hamilton?
Has the job description changed? I don't know if it's changed in a while, but I do know there was some discrepancies with the official title with HR.
We haven't worked on a job description since this committee.
That's what I suggest. Like, let's look at the job description first and make sure it's all correct. Because I know HR had a different title form.
I know.
And it added confusion. So.
Well, they wanted. They suggested that we change the title, but I don't think we did.
I don't think we never took action.
Okay.
That means we did.
Tillman.
We have discussion. Uh-huh. Have you all considered the option of contracting it out? Just, I don't know if you've done that. And the other thing is, what are the qualifications of the director of the Office of OFPR? What's their big, what do they have to have? I mean, are they an auditor?
I haven't looked at the job description recently. I don't know what the qualifications are for it, just off the top of my head.
Eli, do you have that?
Did you consider, just talk about contracting it out?
We talked about it.
Is that not an option you want to go to? Or?
I can give him my opinion, but it takes a while.
Okay.
Well, one of the things I think we should do is get them moved down here, too. There's no reason to have a separate. If they're going to be part of our branch, we need to have our branch together, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Got room.
Okay, so your motion is to advertise for the OFPR director not to exceed $75,000 for the pay?
Mm-hmm. For the maximum compensation. Although, I mean, when Human Resources ran the, gave us, I guess we need to look back at what Human Resources did when they ran the court position description.
Otto, can we amend the motion for a second speaker to approve the job description?
Yeah, if y'all feel comfortable.
I'll withdraw my motion and reassert that we advertise the position once the job description is reviewed and approved by the second speaker.
Not to exceed 75.
Okay.
Is that a new
motion? Yeah. Motion on the floor, the second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Motion carries. Next item on our agenda is, and I will send everything out to you all, to the entire committee. But the way that, so what I'll do is when I get it, I'll send it to the committee. I'll ask for your feedback by a time certain. I'll incorporate the feedback and then approve it with HR and then get it advertised. That'll work for everyone.
Okay.
That way the committee still gets input. Next item on the agenda is construction. You have your RFP?
I do.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So here's the background. We started out, we appropriated the money to move down here. We appropriated funds to remodel to the Congress. Those are appropriated to the Congress. There's also additional funding for the fourth floor that is in Tribal Works or OFPR. It's in Capital Asset and Improvement Fund. We started out in what I call the annex. That's not a lot of work that needs to be done. We got the bids. Bruce Cass helped us. The bids were over the minimum for an RFP process. So I asked Tammy Leeper to give me some templates on what an RFP would look like to do that. At the same time, feedback started coming back in, and I agree that we have to deal with the restroom situation here, that it's unacceptable. So then looking at that as part of the process, it became clear to me that we are going to need an architect with mechanical and engineering to get that place back there suitable for multiple restrooms, which would be needed whether we were here or somebody else was here, because right now we have one little restroom that you can barely even get in. And then realizing that, you know, there's a need for a staging area back there as well. So I got more examples, and what we need, in my opinion, is twofold. We need the RFP for an architect to help us with drawings for that back area to become bathrooms. You know, we all go look at it, hey, there's pipes here, there's pipe there. We need somebody to give us an overall impression on how to do that. Then second, construction manager at risk that will work with the architect to get that done in short order, deadline March 1st, get these bathrooms done, deadline next September, and then from there, repair the ceiling, start working on what we're gonna do to not change the nature of this, but we need curtains, we need that, we need new and better light. We need the lighting checked, although right now the lighting's working, which is good. We need some sort of sound augmentation in here. And so it just became clear that we needed a couple of things. So what I've got for us is, and I need to print it. I asked for a copy of the Nation's, or the seal of the Congress. It looks like this is the seal of the Nation. Anyway, I've got two RFPs that I thought we could either go through or we could take a break, work in. I took what happened with the annex as we went through and identified. It's not overarching. We put some new electrical in there. We need new carpet. We need new ceiling tiles. The entrance needs to be upgraded. And so that's looking like about anywhere from $60,000 to maybe $100,000. So I've got that scope that we had scoped out, and I thought I would include that in the as an exhibit to the RFP. And then the second phase is, and we can use the architect for that too if we want to. It might make sense so that it all ties together. And then the second phase is those bathrooms, and that's part of the, I can't say what that's going to cost or what that's going to entail till we get the architect hired. And then the construction manager at risk works with the architect, and we just put it out.
Okay, I'm gonna give my tip. I have changed my mind about some of this stuff. So I think, we talked about this the last time we were all here and you weren't here. I saw a decline in the number of people that come down here. to sit in the audience and listen to session. I think everyone did. We had one or two. I feel like it's to put money into the next door, in my mind, is money well spent, because whether we're here or the nation's here, someone's going to be there, and it needs to be done. I feel the same way about the fourth floor. It's the nation owns the building. It's in disrepair. It needs to have some money put into it, because it's just falling apart up there. The impression I've always received from most of Congress is this is a temporary location, be it 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years. I think that we're going to have problems really trying to upgrade the bathrooms to be handicap accessible, keeping in mind, as someone pointed out to me when we had this discussion, the ones that we have in up on the hill in our old chambers, those are not handicap accessible. Most of what we have is not handicap. It would be nice to have it, but I think that when you're working with existing buildings, it's really difficult to do. I mean, that's almost something that, you know, you for new construction, you say, yes, we want it to be handicap accessible. Someone had mentioned, well, we might have to tear this wall down, and we don't know. And I was like, what? I just don't know that we need to put as much money into this space if it's going to be temporary. I mean, right now, we haven't put hardly anything into it, and this is working. I mean, the sound isn't great, but, you know, we're also in a room that's got a lot of marble, and we put carpets down to try and help, but how much money do we really want to put into this space when we know it's going to be temporary? I mean, to put money in next door or upstairs, knowing that the nation at some point can utilize it by putting something there, is one thing. But to put it in here and to just remodel and move it around, knowing that we're going to leave anyways, I don't know. Not seeing it.
Okay, well, the response to that is you need bathrooms in this place no matter what it's used for. You cannot have any kind of office staff use that one little bathroom. The sink doesn't even work. The toilet doesn't even flush. I'm talking about building bathrooms. Building real bathrooms. That's what we need here. And that was what was voiced to me when I started undertaking this, was we've got to deal with the bathroom situation, and I absolutely agree. So
we have the ones upstairs. We have two functional bathrooms upstairs, just one flight up, which is an area that all of Congress goes to for lunches and in between meeting times. So we can't discount that. I mean, there are functioning restrooms upstairs.
Well, I'll just say we appropriated the money for what we appropriated it for is what I'm undertaking.
Okay.
We're not changing the vision. We're just getting it together correctly.
Congressman Supernaw?
I don't have anything other than, where would you propose and put the bathroom?
All in the back, that whole back area.
How does the public get back there?
The public comes through here.
Comes to the back door.
Mm-hmm.
Then how do they get out here?
Well, you're going to have to reconfigure this some.
And then there was, where's Eli?
Eli, are you around?
Okay, well, what, didn't he have a concern about the server?
It's back there too. Long.
The server is in
the area
that area down here, and it's the server for the entire building. It comes out through the basement, comes out and goes through a chase underneath, to access the annex area. But then it comes up and goes through the ceiling and goes out to access all the other floors. IT has expressed that it would be extremely difficult to relocate everything to
I understand. That's why you need an architect. That's why you need not Shannon or Shanna or Eli or any of us, you need an architect to come and that has mechanical experience to come tell you, we're going to box this off, we're going, I mean, this is not
okay, I'm in agreement with that.
To decide.
I'm in agreement with that, to let an architect tell us.
Right.
As long as we're all in agreement that if it's off the chart and just completely unrealistic and not going to be a good way to spend the people's money, then we may have to sacrifice and keep using the small bathroom that's still there, or find another option.
If you're ever going to use this facility ever for anything other than what we're doing with it, you're going to have adequate bathrooms. And that, you need ground floor bathrooms, not go upstairs bathrooms. So it's not that this is doing anything that takes this space out of any kind of, you know, future use. It just simply adds bathrooms on the ground floor of this building.
So what are we doing over there? Is that all offices?
Offices.
That's offices.
Why don't we put a bathroom on that side towards the front of the building?
There's no water.
There's no water or sewer access.
Yep. It's back there. It's all back there.
It's all in the back. Well, let's go through your RFPs then, and then so that we can...
Well, we need to take a break.
Well, Chair will entertain a motion for... Oh, we're at 11 o'clock, and this meeting is scheduled till 11
o'clock. Don't we have another meeting on the 5th?
Hold on, let me look. I'm sorry. I scheduled them out pretty far, but I actually need to probably reschedule. Yes, we have a meeting on December 5th at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11.
So why don't I distribute these out, let people look at them, and then...
Bring your notes and comments for the next meeting.
We come back to get this ready because we need we got to get that started at the first of the year in order to get it done by the 1st of March.
I'm good with that. That gives everyone roughly a week to look things over. All right, Chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All those in favor, signify by saying yes.
No.
We're adjourned. Okay, December 5th, 10 o'clock.
Hey, you guys approved the open house last time at the last meeting?